The epistle appointed to be read for this, the fourth Sunday of Advent, is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, let a man so account us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now here is it required in stewards that a man be found trustworthy. But with me it is a very small matter to be judged by you or by man's tribunal. Nay, I do not even judge my own self, for I have nothing on my conscience that I am not thereby justified, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, pass no judgment before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in darkness and make manifest the counsels of hearts, and then everyone will have his praise from God. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was procurator of Judea, and Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, and Philip, his brother, tetrarch of the district of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zachary, in the desert. And he went into all the region about the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the desert, make ready the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked ways shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all mankind shall see the salvation of God. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, I must draw your attention carefully for yourselves to read the points of the bulletin concerning time, that is for Christmas Day, the midnight mass, and so on. Remember too that there will be no confessions before midnight mass, nor will there be any confessions before the 10 o'clock mass on Christmas Day. And of course, though everyone knows this, but it needs to be repeated, anyone who goes to Holy Communion at midnight may not go to communion again later on Christmas Day. And for the rest, it's all there. And though normally on Sunday, not every Sunday of course, but normally on Sunday the Mass that is said here at 10 o'clock is for all of you anyway. It's a normal occurrence. However, the one at 10 o'clock on Christmas morning is more especially for you and yours. And of course, as it is stated in the bulletin. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. My beloved people, as I indicated to you last Sunday, today's bulletin direct itself and emphasize love. Now, there is a situation that we have to come to grips with. We are preparing, we have just a few days left, and the birth of our blessed Lord will take place. We have no problem talking about that. We speak of it, we prepare for it, and all goes according as planned for the coming of the Christ child. Now, what is in today's bulletin? I will speak of it from point to point, from time to time in a moment or so. This event that we're speaking of to take place in just a few days, and also for the proper understanding of what is in the bulletin. Now, I wish to interject here a point. What is in the bulletin, my dear, dear people, included in the bulletin simply for purposes of information. I repeat, what is in the bulletin is not there for reasons of information. You and I already know all the points that are in the bulletin. So why have we included them in the bulletin? My dear people, before we even get thinking about the preparation for Christmas, before we start thinking about the coming of the Christ child, let us work this morning, perhaps, before we even read the bulletin, let us first try to come to a real, I'm using the word here, be careful now, I'm using the word. Let us try to come to the realization of just who Jesus Christ was or is. To come to an understanding of what Jesus Christ was or is would be most difficult. There is so much there that it is, I think that it would be safe to say that it would be easier for us to put all the water of the oceans inside of a thimble than it is for us to comprehend who we're talking about. And in order to make sense for all that is that we are talking about when we speak of love, we have to understand Jesus Christ. I know we all have respect for him, a great deal of respect for him, of course. But I think that our respect for him and our love for him and our realization, again I use that word, our realization of him is restricted, of course, to our own intelligence. But we look at him and see not what we're supposed to see. We see a man. And it almost stops completely there. You remember last year, now it was still this year, most of us went to see the movie that caused so much disturbance, The Passion of Christ. I had several people after the movie and time after who came to me, and this is what they said. And some of these were Catholics, and some of these were traditional Catholics. And this is what they said. Poor man. He was so good. He didn't do any harm to anybody. Why did they have to hurt this poor, poor man? You know, the ones who said that and anybody else, not that they were Pharisaical, don't misunderstand me, they were not Pharisaical. They were honest. But they didn't see any more than the Pharisees saw. They saw a man. And I think sometimes that we ourselves might be tempted to see just only a man. Jesus Christ was, at the time of his birth, and is, of course, the Word. The Word, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Word. Jesus Christ was the Creator, my Creator, your Creator, and a Creator of all things on earth. One God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And because it is too lengthy to speak of here from the pulpit, He, the Word, alone, was able to rectify that damage which one man and one woman brought about. A damage that affected and afflicted every single solitary one of us. And as we speak of Jesus Christ, as we speak of the Word, we must also think in terms of what is reality and what is not reality. That which is corporeal, that which is body, that which is what you see is corporeal. And that, I think it is logical and reasonable to say, is certainly not reality, because even though it is touchable, even though it is visible, it is not reality. Why? Because as we have said before more than once, this which you see is going to be relegated to the earth from whence it all got its nourishment. If this comes to an end, then we have to understand reality. Why then do I place all my emphasis on this which comes to an end? Therefore, the very fact, this is going to appear in a future bulletin concerning prayer. Every time you say, "My Jesus, mercy," or any time that you get on your knees and say a prayer, whether you realize it or not, you automatically are acknowledging that there is something outside of you that is akin to something else which is inside of you. And that is spirit. You are, without saying a word, you are acknowledging spirit. Do you follow me? The fact that you say a Hail Mary or an Our Father or whatever, you are thereby, you are apparently, subconsciously, of course, we cannot find the answer to our difficulty in what I see in me or what I see you in. We go elsewhere, and our prayer demonstrates that. So, this obviously is not satisfactory to me, because it is unreality. I address my prayer to that which I know instinctively is reality, the spirit. Everything we do, everything we think, everything we wish to accomplish must be influenced by this realization. I think sometimes, now please don't crucify me for the next statement that I'm about to make, but it's just, take it in context. Take it completely in context. Do not divorce it from that. But I fear that for too many people, Catholics certainly included, that we have a concept of Christ as being someone, a great prophet. It's almost, if I may say, this is why, don't crucify me, we have almost a Mohammedan concept of Christ, who look upon him as a great prophet. Christ was not a prophet. Christ was one person, and there was a mystery that took place. Christ was God. And in these points of the bulletin, please, I repeat for emphasis, if you read these points for sake of information or for the sake of curiosity, my beloved people, you may as well go outside and eat hay for all that it will mean to you. Each point has to be taken as a point for serious meditation of who we are talking about. Not only that, but what who we are talking about was forced to do because of love. Christ, the Word, God, loves us to the point of folly. And the Word's love for us has forced him, God, he could not avoid this movement. Take for a moment, let us think in terms of a magnet, a powerful magnet. As soon as a piece of iron approaches the magnet, the force of the magnet takes away, actually, the freedom of that piece of iron, doesn't it? And that piece of iron can no longer function on its own. It is pulled, it is forced, it is brought to the magnet. That is Christ's love for us. And that is the kind of love that we, in turn, my beloved people, must work to have for Him, God. Love forced the Word to do precisely everything that the Word did on earth. And just one of the points later on in the, about a little bit beyond halfway, the halfway mark, perhaps the most beautiful example of what took place in our blessed Lord, the Word. Please keep the Word in mind and who the Word was. The Word was the Creator. Think on the scene that took place at the Last Supper. When the supper was over, Christ got up, He put an apron on, and He, the Word, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the Creator of everything, whose the blink of whose eye would be enough to bring us all into complete annihilation. Could bring everything that is into total annihilation and non-existence just by a blink of the eye, His eye. The Word was pulled down on His knees. And wash the feet of man. And what's more, God kissed man's foot. What on earth could have more power than that? God kissing the foot of man. How unbelievable. How completely unbelievable. But that was the strength of the love of the Word. To save man and to bring man unto his fullest accomplishment, namely salvation. Dear people, the mystery of Almighty God cannot be put into our feeble minds. And when we go about sometimes and we let non-essentials, absolutely the most non-essential stupidities that the human mind can conjure up, when we let these things distract us from what really is, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, Almighty God, got on his knees to us. And after you get that into your heads, until we get that into our heads, as it really must be, let us put all the non-essentials away. Let's stop preaching, let's stop teaching, let's stop doing all the shenanigans and the monkey shines that we get involved in when we're trying to show our importance. Let us think for that one act. He fell on his knees to me. And then let us quickly ask ourselves the question, when was the last time that I fell on my knees to him? And because of this tremendous love that I spoke of unto folly, because of this tremendous love that he had for us, that he would go to that extreme, then all the other things that we read, that we will read in the bulletin, will begin to make sense to us. And it was not just the activity of a great man. It was not just that we speak of. This is God out of heaven, walking on earth, so that we can be saved. And all the other stuff, the persecution, the contradictions, the birth in Bethlehem, the scourging, the accusal, the crucifixion, everything else, then will fall in place. But we have got to understand who we are talking about. And the little baby that was born in Bethlehem. Yes, we have all the scenes that go with it, and they're all, as we say every year, very beautiful, very sweet, very lovely, very quiet, very magnificent, very precious, etc., etc., etc. But this little baby began his trip to Calvary that night. It didn't happen only in the few hours before the crucifixion. The trip to Calvary began that night. And we ourselves, whether we like it or not, my beloved people, we in our own way, we're not expected to be taken out physically and nailed to a piece of wood. We ourselves must be willing to be crucified as he was crucified for love. Not because we are forced to it. Please forget this business of I've got to do it. The business that we must be about is I want to do it. I love him. And all during the day, I love him. If he could do what he did for us as outlined in today's bulletin, out of love, then we too can act out of love. And it is only because of that that we will gain our eternal salvation. My beloved people, the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a central point of history. History will not acknowledge that. History will speak again of a great man, a great this, a great that, you know, and that what we are doing, we are just simply making a commemoration of a great event. No, indeed, it is not a simple commemoration. It is an actual fact that reenacts itself every year before our very eyes in order to bring us, in order to bring me to my salvation. The only reason you're here, the only reason you make any effort is for the salvation of the spirit that is in you and me. May you have a magnificent Christmas. May it be, when we say a Christ-filled Christmas, yes, I want you to have a Christ-filled Christmas, but you can't stop there. You've got to go all the way. If you don't, it might end up being a pretty box under the tree with nothing more to show for it. The Spirit, when you come up here to receive your Holy Communion on Christmas Day, as you do any other time, please be mindful, my beloved people, be mindful of who it is, not what it is, but who it is. That the priest puts on your tongue. And be mindful of what that priest is about, who is reaching up to heaven with his feeble, unworthy hands and plucks out of the sky the word of God. And puts the word of God on your tongue. That's another reenactment of God kissing the foot of man. Imagine the power and the strength of that love which allowed that, which brought that about. My very dear, this boggles the imagination. Let us think on that with all of the seriousness it intends. As I said last week, serious people with serious intention. May you be blessed. May the blessing of Christmas be like an aura around you and yours, and may the Word God be in your homes and in your hearts. And I pray with all my strength, I really do, believe me, I pray that you will feel His presence within you. There is nothing else that I have on this earth that I can give you. I've blessed you once this morning. Please kneel. And I'll bless you again.